It's interesting. So this morning we've heard an awful lot about relationships, haven't we? Even in testimony about relationships and our relationship with money and God. And would you know that we're talking about relationships today? We're talking about a unique relationship in Scripture. And so let me just start by saying good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and I want you to know that I am thrilled that you all chose to join this morning. Even those that are here every week when the door is open, I'm glad that you are here today. And I'd like to start with a question this morning. I want to see if anybody can get this question here. Do you know what the friendliest thing in the world is? Pretty close. Pretty close. A cat. What else? A bunny rabbit. Okay. We got some good answers here. A guinea pig. Okay. Are you ready to hear the answer? The friendliest thing in the world is a wet dog. Because when they're wet, they get you wet. And they want to rub up against you. So yes, technically, Tim, I think you're right. A dog is the friendliest, but a wet dog is the friendliest thing. Although dogs and pets in general can be friendly, they cannot replace a godly relationship. So today we jump into the fifth sermon in our sermon series, Life of David. We're spending 6 weeks looking at the life of David. Today we're looking at David and Jonathan's friendship. It is a remarkable example of a deep, selfless bond between two individuals who on the surface, they seem like very unlikely friends, like they shouldn't be friends. But despite their differences in status, because they were from two very different backgrounds, despite their difference in status, their circumstances, their friendship was marked by genuine love, support, and loyalty. Jonathan's willingness to prioritize David's well-being over his own interest is a testament of the power of a selfless friendship. It's a friendship that sets the standards for the stage for our friendships, for the types of godly friends that we need in our lives. Because who knows, we all need to have friends. Today's sermon is titled, Lasting Friendship. Thank you, son. Lasting Friendship. I wonder, do you have your Bible today? Had somebody asked me if I was giving them chocolate for bringing their Bible today. And I said, well, that's just the adverse effect of me giving chocolate is eventually you just start bringing it and hoping chocolate shows up. And so no, I didn't hand out chocolate today, but there is some by the soundboard if Arvin hasn't enjoyed it all this morning. But anyways, if you have your Bible today, and I hope you do, genuinely, I hope you have your Bible with you. I hope you're bringing your Bible to church. But if not, I hope the person next to you brought their Bible that you can look on with. And let me invite you this morning to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. 1 Samuel 18, which is after 1 Samuel 17, which is where David and Goliath. So we're a chapter after that. So 1 Samuel 18. And if you don't have your Bible, and if the person next to you doesn't have it, it's up on the screen behind me here. Let's get to our scripture this morning. As soon as he had finished speaking, so let's just go back here. If we go back into chapter 17, and let's just start at verse 55. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. And the king said, inquire whose son the boy is. And as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. We go right into chapter 18. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. sounds like he gave him everything. We're going to dive into that. So as we know, this just took place right after David defeats Goliath. David, we know, prior to this, a few weeks ago, we were talking about his anointing as king. Samuel anointed David as king, and the selection of David as the one after God's own heart, that God wanted to be king. So we know prior to this that David was anointed to the crown. He was going to take the crown out of Saul's hands. And we know that it eventually happened. But in also doing so, it means that Jonathan would never have the crown on his head. So Jonathan, in a sense, has been robbed of his father's crown because he's not going to be the heir to his father's crown. And we can surmise that Jonathan had every reason to despise David. So first off, David was a shepherd. Lowliest of lowliest. Jonathan was in the king's castle. My dad's the king. We could argue he was probably spoiled. Okay? So he had every reason to despise David, especially knowing that David would eventually take the crown. Now, we don't know at this exact time if that was known yet, but I have to believe that it was because of the covenant that was made and their friendship that we see in chapter 20. But what took place here is God gave David a very close friend in Jonathan. God moved Jonathan's heart. The scripture tells us that in verse 1, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So God moved Jonathan's heart to love David as he loved himself. An unlikely friendship that would define and forever be recorded in our Bibles, forever be recorded what a loyal friendship looks like. Now, if you want to know more of what their friendship looked like, I encourage you, write this down. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Go read the whole chapter of 1 Samuel 20 and see what kind of friendship they had. And Jonathan made a great display of his love and his friendship towards David in the actions that he took in verse 4. Now, if we go back to chapter 17, before David went out to fight Goliath, what did Saul try to do? Saul tried to clothe David. He tried to put his armor on him, tried to put his sword in his hand, give him the tools of battle. But David shed them because they were too big for him. It wasn't going to work. And he went to battle. David went into battle in shepherd's clothes. But after he defeated the Philistine, when David comes back in, Jonathan honored David. So this was the king's son making a great move. It was a sign of respect and honor towards David. David just saved all of Israel by conquering Goliath. Okay? So what Jonathan did is he recognized him as a soldier who just won battle by giving him his own royalty robe and his armor and his weapons. So he took off everything and gave it all to David. The king's son disposed himself of his attire to clothe and to honor David. This, church, is friendship. What does David and Jonathan's friendship have to do with us, though? Why does their friendship matter to us? Why is it even in the Bible? Why is this relevant to me? Well, I'm glad you came here today to find out because I have an answer for you. The first thing it does is it reveals the type of friends that we should have. It reveals the type of friend the type of friend that we should be to others. Selfless, loving, and loyal, no matter what. And if you go read chapter 20, you'll see all three of these things play out in David and Jonathan's friendship. We know from chapter 20 that David proved his loyalty to David to protect David's life from the king, Saul, Jonathan's father. And later, after Jonathan died, what did David do? David took care of Jonathan's family. Long after the friendship ended because of Jonathan's death, David cared for Jonathan's family. their friendship should challenge us to cultivate similar relationships in our lives. It should encourage us to seek out those types of relationships. Relationships that are characterized by sacrificial love, mutual support, and a commitment to one another's well-being. What does that kind of friendship look like in today's world, though? See, this is a little bit challenging. See, I'm in that generation that had the rotary phone and then the push, and it had the cord, and you could only get away from your parents as long as the cord would stretch. And then they came out with like the 15-foot cords, and you could go double the distance. That was almost as cool as wireless is now. But I come from that generation, and so Nintendo, the original Nintendo was cool. Like, so kids, we didn't have save and come back features. You had to pause Mario for 10 hours until you got back home to hope it hadn't glitched out by the time you got home to continue your game so you could move on to World 5 from World 4 because it already took you 2 hours to get to World 4. You guys don't know what struggle is. But I'm saying all of that to say, in today's world, now we have something else that draws our attention into social media. Social media, you have friends now, right? We have friends on social media. And so, in a sense, social media really kind of rules our life, and it gives us the false satisfaction that we have friends, that we have meaning. We have TikTok, where we have followers, and people like our videos, and they share our videos, and they comment on it. Friends on Facebook and followers on TikTok and Twitter and Snapchat, and I don't care if you have the highest Snapchat score. I'm speaking language some of you don't even understand, but I promise the teens know exactly what I'm talking about. You have such a high Snapchat score with your friends. Those don't equal friends. They are not your friends. Now, social media has given us the illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship. So it's given us a false sense of satisfaction and understanding of what friends are. When you're going through the hardest time in your life, where is that friend in real life? Besides texting or messaging you and saying, "Oh, I'm praying for you." A real friend comes and they pray with you. Okay? So social media is a farce. It doesn't bring real friends. Listen, how many of us are friends with people that you barely know on Facebook? If you have Facebook, you should have your hand raised, because I promise there's people that you're friends with that you barely probably know. I have people that request my friendship. I recognize the last name. I assume because I'm a pastor, they want to be my friend so they can see what I post. My Facebook's not that impressive, but I don't know them. If I saw them in public, I would probably say hi, and that's it. We are not friends. What does a friendship require? The things that we just talked about, loyalty, sacrificial love. Caden, you need to exit the room if you need to, okay? Sorry about that, folks. So I'm friends with people on Facebook that I barely know. And I'm sure that we have friends that we barely know. We know their faces. We maybe know what their names are. But are they really our friends? When it comes down to the hard things in life, can we count on them to be there? So here's why David and Jonathan's friendship should be important to us. And let me just preface this by saying biblical friends. There is a need to have biblical friends. A biblical friendship is grounded on the one unchanging sure thing. Do you know what that is? Jesus Christ. It is grounded around Jesus Christ. Our lives might change. Our hobbies might change. In some of the DeBoof's case, our zip codes might change. But a biblical friendship isn't deterred by those things. A friendship doesn't end because we no longer like to ride motorcycles, or we no longer farm, or we no longer do this. It doesn't change because our zip code changed. A biblical friendship is built on the basis of what is still present and important today, Jesus Christ. It's built on the hope and the the desire of both individuals to constantly bring glory to Jesus. That is the common ground of that relationship. So, do you know what that means? You ready? I'm getting ready to blow your mind. Crystal's got a little preview of this. We talked about this before Sunday school. This means you can be friends with anyone who is a believer. Republican, Democrat. Should I keep going? Regardless of anything else in their life, Jesus unites us all. There is common ground. Here's what a Christian friend will be. A Christian friend will be one of sacrificial love. A Christian friend will bring mutual support. A Christian friend will bring and have commitment to your well-being. Yourself as a Christian friend, to your friends, that you will be that to others. A biblical friendship is not a one-way street. It's give and take. I always go back to the marriage relationship, and I ask this, and teens, I'm sorry, I know you're not married, but I hope one day you will be, and you understand what I'm talking about. If you don't talk to your spouse for 3 days, there's probably some tension in your house. Maybe some of you are joyous at it, but maybe by the time it gets to 6 days or 9 days or 12 days, all of a sudden it's not so fun anymore. Because now I'm feeling like I'm out here on an island by myself. Eventually, there has to be communication in a relationship. It has to be a two-way street for that relationship to work. Right? Can we all agree to that? So when a friend calls you concerned about something revealed at a doctor's appointment, a Christian friend's heart breaks with theirs. You encourage them. You pray with them. You share in their concern. You do what you can to help. Albeit it's probably nothing besides being an encouraging word and lifting them up in prayer. But they can also call you no matter when, where, or how. You will do what you can to be there and be present with them. A Christian friend, if they see another friend making choices that you know is going to end up in disaster, if it is followed through on, a Christian friend can lovingly correct them and point them down the right path that they need to go. Maybe you've gone through a season in life where everything is crumbling. Seems like everything is breaking. Everything is falling apart. Everything you've put your hand to is just showing up with loss and hurt, and all the hope in your life is void. It seems like a lie. It seems like hope can't be possible. A Christian friend will come beside you and they will remind you and speak the love of Jesus into your life, and they're going to point you to the only one that makes all of our situations seem mute. Listen, when we get to heaven, the only thing that matters is being in the presence of God the Father. Our sickness, it's gone, it doesn't matter. The hard times that we've had on earth, it doesn't matter, because we are in the presence of our Creator. A biblical friend will sacrifice their desires. A biblical friend will jump in the car and they'll drive across the country if necessary in your time of need. Now, luckily, all my friends are right in Sharon and in Iowa. But if there ever came a need, I'd like to think that if my friend called on me and said, I really need you, I would try to get there. And I hope you guys would share that same sentiment. A biblical friend will love you the same way that they love themselves. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of love to give. Because I know who I am, and I know whose I am. And because of that, I love myself. Because, well, look at me. Okay? I know that's a joke, but that's fine. But you feed yourself, right? You clothe yourself. You have shelter for yourself, right? It's because you love yourself. Do you get that? You care for yourself because you love yourself. And I'd like to think that we all love ourselves an awful lot if we're clothed, we're fed, and we have shelter over our head. So I hope that we can give Christian love to those who need that relationship. The second thing that David and Jonathan's friendship is important to us and why it matters. Because this clearly parallels how Jesus showed us his love. How? Jesus stripped himself to clothe us. He emptied himself to enrich our lives. Let's put a little note here. Jonathan didn't put on David's shepherd's clothes. He just disrobed and gave everything to David. He did not put David's clothes on. However, Jesus clothed himself with our rags and took him to the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. He put on our dirty rags of life, and he dealt with them forever. Did you have dirty clothes? I did. Jesus showed us unconditional love by doing this. He did this so that we might realize our depravity. We've talked about the chasm last week, and we talked about it this morning. When there is sin present in our life, there is a chasm between us and God. And the only thing that can fill that is Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins. So when we realize our depravity and we understand that we have a need to experience God's grace, then we have a desire to come into a relationship with Him. If we come into a relationship with Jesus before understanding our depravity and we actually need to be forgiven, that's not much of a relationship, is it? We don't actually have an understanding of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When we do, when we go through these and we understand that we need forgiveness and we ask and we receive, we step into a relationship with Him. When we do that, what we've just experienced is a friendship that surpasses David and Jonathan's. Because in John 15, 13 through 15, it's already on the overhead, it says this, Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is talking about what's soon to happen on the cross. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What does it mean for Jesus to be our friend, and how can we experience his friendship? Here's how we can experience. Jesus draws near in our suffering. When we're going through something, he draws near to us, and he remains committed even if we stumble. We don't get brushed aside because we made a bad choice. He stays by our side. Listen, he lets us all the way in, and he loves us to the very end. There is no, well, I think I want to judge this friendship. I want to get to know this person's character and see what they're like as a friend before. No, Jesus, he just opens up and says, come on in. All the way in. Come on in. He doesn't just justify us and nudge us aside and say, I've got other work to do. Rather, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He loves us more deeply than anyone else could, and we are closer to his heart more. We are closer to his heart than anyone has ever been to our heart. So think of the person that you love most in your life. You are closer to God's heart, to Jesus' heart, than that person that you love is closer to your heart. That's how much he loves you. I've already hit on this a little bit, but friendships thrive with conversation, don't they? As we read, good job, Kelly. As we read the Bible, as we receive the words, as we read them and we remember God's word, we hear him address us as friends. And then when we pray, we listen, we thank him, we confess our sins to him, we share our burdens with him. We don't do this out of duty. We don't do this because we're servants and that's what we're required to do. We do this because we are relating to him as a friend. Further, we experience his friendship through obedience. We display our loyalty as friends of Jesus when we do what he has asked us to do. Let us have the heart of Jonathan. If you go and you read 1 Samuel chapter 20, and listen, we didn't read it because it's like, I think, 42 verses long. And so I wasn't going to sit here and read all 42 verses today. So go read it. Get the whole story. But you will hear, or you will read in there when you read it, Jonathan in chapter 20, he says this to David, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." So when Jesus tells us to love, what do? We love. When Jesus tells us to give, what do? We give. When He tells us to pray, to encourage, to move, to change jobs, to serve in church, to do fill in the blank, we do it. We are obedient to Him because of our relationship with Him. A community without Jesus needs a friend in Jesus. They need a friend in us who can help be that friend to point them to Jesus. Church, it's our job. It's not my job. Yes, I'm your pastor, but Jesus didn't say, "Pastors, go disciple all the world." We all are called to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are all called to share the gospel. We are all called to point others to Jesus. We are all called to be biblical friends. And we are all called to bring glory to Jesus Christ through engaging our community for Jesus. When we emulate David and Jonathan's friendship, we honor God's call for us to love and care for another, one another, in a way that glorifies Him. It glorifies His name. So my question for you today is, who are your Christian friends? Or who are you a Christian friend to? And if you're thinking that I don't have any Christian friends, or there's nobody in this church that I can be friends with, how wrong you are. We are all united under Jesus Christ. I don't care if your background is 100 times different than me. We share in the common ground that Jesus is our Savior. He has forgiven us equally. Totally, completely, not partially, not if you do this work, then I'll forgive you, completely. None of us have worked to earn our way into heaven. Therefore, we all stand on the same ground and we are all united as brothers and sisters in Christ. We all can be friends in here. If you guys would, just bow your heads, close your eyes. I'd just like to give everybody a chance to respond to this message. The truth of all this is Jesus desires to be each of our friends. If you didn't know that, you know now. Jesus wants to be your friend. In fact, I would say that He's calling to you today. Why else are we having a message about a relationship and friendship with Him? So the question is will you respond to Him today? And I'm not going to lead in a prayer. I'm just going to tell you what you could say, what it could look like. Because it doesn't matter about the words, but it has everything to do with your heart, your desire for more of Him, your desire to be in relationship with Him. So I would just encourage you, as the background music's playing and by yourself, it's a simple prayer. It could be something like this: "Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that You died on the cross. I believe You went to Calvary and died on the cross so I could be free from sin. Would You cleanse me and come into my life right now? In Jesus' name, amen." If you say that, if you've said that prayer and you meant it, know that you are in relationship with Jesus Christ. Know that your sins have been completely washed away. You are free from the chains that sin brings on your life this morning. And I would just encourage you, the next step is to get into your Word. The next step, I would open in John and I would start reading through the book of John, fourth book of the New Testament. Start building that relationship. Just because you say a prayer doesn't mean that you know, like when you first meet somebody, you meet them, right? You got to build that relationship. And so now we got to start that building of relationship. So get in your Word, start praying. If you don't know what to pray, it's okay. Say, "God, I don't know what to say, but I need You." Guess what? That's enough. So, as we close today, I want to just throw this out there. Maybe you've not experienced a friend like David or Jonathan. Maybe you don't know what it is to have that kind of a biblical friendship in your life. It could be maybe you were betrayed. You thought you had a David or a Jonathan in your life and you were betrayed. Or maybe you were the one that did the betraying. Maybe you were the one that caused issue in that friendship. Here's what I know. I've said it and I'll say it again. We are all unified because of our relationship with Jesus. So we each have that common ground to build upon. Let me encourage you this. Don't shut others out. Don't turn them away. Don't push them away. Because a wet dog can't be your best friend. We need relationships in our life. We need Christian relationships in our life for us to have successful, flourishing Christian life with an outlook of bringing glory to God's name. So we need to invite people in. We need to invite them to build a relationship. We need to invite them to come into a relationship that is going to be full of selflessness, full of love, and full of loyalty. It is possible that you need to focus on your relationship with Jesus first. It could be that you've got some other priorities that you need to get aligned. You find your Jonathan or David. You need to experience the thing that Jesus has for you. And it's through developing that relationship, through prayer and listening and reading our word and following His leading, that we experience all that He has for us. And I don't know what this looks like, but as we close today, I just want to invite everyone to the altar. I want to invite everybody to come up. You choose if you do, but the invitation's open. Everybody's invited. I want to encourage us to seek after God. First and foremost, if we're unified in Jesus Christ and we are unified to bring glory to His name, let's start by seeking God together. Then let's pray for one another. Let's pray for those who need prayer. If you have a need this morning, let me encourage you to come up because we, the church, we want to pray for you. And if you don't come up because you don't need prayer and you just don't feel comfortable seeking God, listen, if somebody is up here, come up and pray for them. Be present, share their burden with them, be a Christian friend. Amen. Thank you.